I want to speak to you on the subject of 30 seconds after death. In Luke chapter 16, it tells us of two men that lived and died. And in these two verses, verse 22 and 23, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Now may we pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the meeting here this morning. Through your providential care, we are here. Some have traveled much farther than others. But it matters not whether we have walked a few steps or whether we have driven many miles. It was your protecting care that brought us here. Our Heavenly Father, it's in you that we live and move and have our being. And you hold in your hand the very breath of every living thing. You have extended unto us physical life and grace and mercy. And we're here in your house. We've heard words of truth sung that have blessed our hearts, that have instructed us, reminded us, and encouraged us. We've heard a lesson from your word in the Sunday school hour of truth. And dear Lord, we believe that we are obeying your word, when you wrote through the apostle to one of your true churches and said that we should all speak the same thing. When we hear your word taught, when we hear songs sung and a message preached from your word, we believe that they are all in harmony, because that they are in harmony with your word. They come from your word. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would breathe upon us, as it were, in this service this morning, that you would melt and warm our cold, stony hearts, that you would help us to fall more deeply in love with you, with the truth, with the church, with one another. And Heavenly Father, just revive us and bless us and use us and show us how that we are to be submissive in all things under thee. Bless our homes and our daily lives, for our church life will be no better than our personal daily lives and our home lives. Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessings. We thank you for forgiveness. And we know that it's all in the shed blood of Jesus, our blessed Savior. Help us to be more appreciative of what you've done, what you are doing, what you shall do. And may we anxiously look for your coming again. And may we serve you diligently while we wait upon your coming. We come in behalf of the prayer requests, spoken and unspoken, and those, dear Lord, that have not been mentioned in any way, that lay heavily upon the hearts of this people. We pray for them. We hold them up to you. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to serve you and serve you right. In Jesus' name and for his sake I pray. Amen. I know that all of you are familiar with the entire account here in Luke chapter 16. But I want you to picture these two men that we read about in these two verses. And they both died. One of them was a rich man, The other was a beggar, and not only was he a beggar, but he was a man afflicted. I believe that one of these men wanted to die, was anxious to die, but the other one wanted to live. The man that was covered with sores over his body, and seemingly the only medication that he had was that the dogs came and licked his sores. He did not have ample food. The only food that he had was that the crumbs which he could get that fell from the rich man's table. And this man was saved, because the Bible says that he went to heaven, that he went to Abraham's bosom, that he went to the paradise of God, of which the Bible tells us is heaven. So I picture this man as he lay there, I do not know how long, but more than one day, and I suppose many days, that he was laid there at the rich man's gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He knew the Lord, he knew where he was going at the end of this life, and so I can believe that he lay there day after day, really desiring that he could die. The Apostle Paul said on one occasion, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. On the other hand, I believe that the other man, as the Bible says, that he fared sumptuously every day. He was a rich man. He could buy anything that he wanted. He could have any kind of clothing that he wanted. He could have any kind of food that he wanted. He could have anything that riches could buy. And he was enjoying life, so he desired to live on and on, I believe, in this life. But God was in control of both of their lives. The man that was sick and the man that was well, the man that was saved and the man that was lost. And we need ever to remember that our life is in the hand of the Lord. He'll not work his servants overtime. When he's finished with us here, he'll take us out of this life. But as we look at these men, it's easy to see on the authority of God's Word taught here that conscious life continues on after physical death. We do know from experience that when death occurs, that many things begin to happen. But I think that we're so caught up in the physical that we give little thought maybe to what happens to the spiritual in the time of death. From the standpoint of the physical, the time of death, whether it be in the a hospital or in a wreck or at home or whatever the case might be, very quickly the undertaker is called and plans for funeral services are made quite quickly. Friends come by to speak words of comfort and to console the family in whatever way that they can. If that is an employed person that has died, the employer is notified. And all of this is going on in the physical realm. But what about that person that has died? That's going to come to you and I. As you've heard me mention a number of times, the record that I keep of weddings and funerals and the like. And almost every time that I write a name down and put a number beside of it, numbering the number of funerals that I've had, I cannot keep from letting the thought enter my mind, I wonder what will be, who will be on the next line. And then I also think about the fact that if someone else is keeping a record, sometime my name will be on their record of funeral services that they have conducted. But what about you and what about me? You just take it real personal, because the Bible is very clear. The Bible answers the question.
What about us 30 seconds after death? Well, our soul will be in eternity. Wherever it's going, it'll be there 30 seconds after it leaves this body. Of course, the saved will be in heaven. Isn't that a glorious thought? We do not know very much about heaven. We know something of the beauty and the glory of it. But one day, the saved are going to be able to see firsthand. We're going to be able to touch and handle the things there in heaven. And as it said of this rich man, or of this beggar, that he died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I take this so literally, and it is so real to me, that I believe when that time comes for me, that I will move out of this body that came from the dust of the earth. And I believe that I can literally look back and see the house that I have lived in. This body, this tabernacle of flesh, that I have moved out of and will be being escorted by the angels into the presence of God. And there will lay behind me this lifeless remains that has housed me for a little over 63 years now, and I do not know how long it will be at the time of my departure from this body. But I believe that as I leave this body in that moment of death, and I'm on my way in the care and protection of the angels that will escort me into the presence of the paradise of God, that I'll be able to look back and see the house that I'm leaving as I see the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And all of this will be taking place 30 seconds after death. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we'll realize then that we're entering into a place where the Bible says that there'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Where, as the Bible says, and we'll enter that place where there is no more, not only of these sorrows and sufferings, but where thou'll in no wise enter into it anything that worketh abomination or whatsoever maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's a glorious future for the child of God as this beggar left this old diseased body. But as I said, I believe that he was longing to move out of, because he knew he was saved and he knew where he was going. And that time finally came that he moved out and met the angels of God and went into the presence of the Lord. But there's another side of the picture. And that is that if you die lost, and 30 seconds after death, after you move out of this body, you see, it won't matter what a good time that you might be having. You might be at a party where you'd be having the greatest time that you'd ever have. You might be at some kind of a worldly function, or you might even be at church. But if you are lost, When the time comes that you move out of this body, it will be with you as it was with the rich man. In 30 seconds after that, you will lift up your eyes in hell, being in torments, more than one, all kinds of torments. And you realize that that is your home for eternity. When the saved land on the shore of sweet deliverance, and we realize that we have crossed, as it were, that spiritual Jordan, that we've been through this wilderness wandering, and there'll not be another. Only be beauty and glory from there on eternally. But the unsaved die, lift up their eyes in the torments of hell, in the flames of hell. This man said, I am tormented in this flame. And that person will realize that this is my home forever, where not only there are these torments of suffering, but where the Bible says that there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You die lost, and in 30 seconds, you'll be in hell. You'll be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And the persons all around you will be doing the same thing that you're doing. And the Bible says there'll be no rest, day nor night, forever and ever, where there is no hope of ever returning, because one of the reminders are, as is stated here to this man, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which are there cannot return unto us, and neither can any that are here come unto you. In that kind of place, and realizing that it is forever. I'm going back to read a few verses there. In verse 23 and further on through about verse 26 or so. And show you this place where you'll be 30 seconds after death if you die without Christ. The last words in verse 22 says, the rich man also died and was buried. But long before his body was buried, his soul was crying in hell. And his burial brought no kind of comfort to him. It may have brought some satisfaction to others, the kind of funeral that he had, but it brought no comfort to him. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, to see if Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, I see the old beggar who knew the Lord that I did not know. The one that laid out there at the gate. One whose body was covered with sores but didn't have anything. That was despised. That was one of the little things of this world. The rich man could say, I had everything in life. But now there he is, who had nothing, who was nothing in the sight of the world. But he surely must have been something in the sight of God. For there he is now in the bosom of Abraham. And here I am in the torments of hell. You see, Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters in this life. It does not matter about the material things in this life so far as eternal things are concerned. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, can you just imagine that a man that had lived with the power and the money and the prestige that he had, crying out and saying, "Father Abraham, it's me! Father Abraham, have mercy on me! And send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Father Abraham, I had everything that I wanted in this life, and now I don't have anything, can't get anything, and I'll take anything I can get. If I can just get to Abraham, just get Lazarus to come and dip his finger in water and just give me some relief, I'll be glad to accept that." But yet if you read on in the Word of God, during his lifetime, he would not accept the Word of God. He would not accept the law. He would not accept the prophets. He would not accept Moses. He would not repent of his sins. He would not receive anything that God had during his lifetime. And now he wakes up in the torments of hell and he admits it. He said, "I'm tormented in this flesh. Is there no mercy to extend?" And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. Now for a little while he suffered and you had everything. But now forever, from here on endless ages, he is comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." You remember that the place where he is, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he said it three times, he said that it's the place where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. So 30 seconds after that, you'll either be in the beauty and glory of heaven where you'll never lose sight of the Lord, where you'll always be in his presence, where one day you'll come with all of his saints and set up his glorious reign, and then finally move into the eternal ages. You'll either be with him forever, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, or you'll be suffering in hell forever. You know, that is just almost too awful to imagine. You look at someone that you know, someone that you love, who is not saved. And it's too horrible to think about that they may burn eternally in hell. But that's what the Word of God teaches. You know who else is going to be there? In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it tells us that the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. But 30 seconds after death, your opportunities for service will be terminated. Let me speak to the children of God for a moment. Even Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work." We need to take that personally, every one of us, every child of God. We need to be saying, whatever I'm going to do, whatever I have a responsibility to do. And what did Jesus say to that man in Mark chapter 5? He said to that man, "Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee." You remember when he was talking to Peter and John. And he was telling Peter what to do. And he was telling Peter what kind of death that he was going to die. And Peter said, well, yeah, Lord, but what about John? And in substance, Jesus said, you don't worry about John. I'm telling you what I want you to do. And he said, if John lives until I come again, what is that under there? We need to take our Christianity, I hesitate to even use the word religion, but we need to take our Christianity seriously. The Lord has saved me, and the Lord has something for me to do. And I know one of the things that He has for me to do. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And over again, He has told those that He saved to tell others what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And 30 seconds after that, your influence on the world will have been made. What would be a fitting epitaph for your monument? What will we leave it behind? I preached a message on that in Illinois the other day. The Bible says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So our life is going to live on after that we're gone. But we can't change anything. We can't back up and right any wrongs that we've done. We can't go and tell someone that we love them who now doesn't really think that we do. We can't go and correct some error that we may have made with someone. We can't show our repentance after this life like we could while God grants us breath here in this life. So 30 seconds after death, our influence on the world will be made. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. And 30 seconds after death, your next appointment will be judgment. You know, there's something about that standing in judgment that just kind of puts us in awe, doesn't it? Even we who are saved. Oh, how terrible it is for the unsaved to stand in judgment, but you and I who are saved, we're going to stand in judgment too, a different judgment. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, but we are going to be judged. That'll be our next appointment after death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. And to the saved, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:10, he said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. That is, whether it be acceptable or unacceptable. So 30 seconds after death, I won't have any more appointments here. I suppose every adult here this morning has some appointments. We have them jotted down on our calendars when we have an appointment for this or that or the other. But when death comes, they'll all be canceled out. And there'll just be one more appointment. And that'll be standing before God. And the saved will stand there to give an account of our lives, of our works, whether they be good or bad, whether they be acceptable or unacceptable. And the unsaved are going to stand before the great white throne judgment. John said in Revelation chapter 20, in about verse 11 through 15, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, for there was found no place for them, or no hiding place for them." This is the unsaved. He said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This," he said, "is the second death." I don't know anything that strikes terror to the heart if we will honestly think about any more than the fact of judgment. The saved are not afraid of hell. We have a Savior that has saved us from hell. But He has saved us on two good works. And we're going to stand before our Savior who loved us and gave Himself for us and gave us the life to live and gave us the work to do. And we're going to stand before Him with what we have done for Him and be judged for our rewards, or the loss of our rewards. The Bible says that every man's work shall be made manifest, that it shall be tried by fire. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss.